Every year, millions of women fall pregnant. It's a fact of life. But up to 10% of them will develop the condition preeclampsia, which is associated with dangerously high blood pressure that can even be life-threatening if it isn't managed promptly and appropriately. And although doctors are very good at doing that, we're still not entirely sure why the condition occurs at all, which makes predicting and preventing it much more difficult. Now, MIT scientist Katie Beazold-Lamb has found a way to produce a very similar manifestation in mice, which might give us new clues as to what's going on.
The placenta is a specialized organ that only occurs during pregnancy. It's created by the developing baby. It's a site of communication between mom and baby and the site of gas and nutrient exchange for the developing baby.
How does it actually form?
So the placenta is formed by invasive cells from the developing fetus that invade into the maternal uterus. These cells locate maternal spiral arteries and replace the underlying endothelium, widening these arteries to increase the amount of blood flow to the placenta, effectively increasing the amount of available nutrients and oxygen for the placenta to deliver to the baby. However, in a certain subset of pregnancies, this invasion of specialized cells called trophoblasts does not occur quite as effectively as it should. The spiral arteries aren't properly remodeled, so the amount of blood flow available is drastically decreased. And since these spiral arteries are thinner, or the diameter is reduced, the mother is at risk for developing high blood pressure in pregnancy, which can lead to preeclampsia. Additionally, since there is a reduction in the amount of blood flow available, the baby is at risk for developing intrauterine growth restriction, where the baby is then small for its gestational age.
It's quite common, this, isn't it, preeclampsia? But do we actually know what causes it?
Absolutely. Preeclampsia is very common, but while it is generally understood that preeclampsia arises due to shallowly invading trophoblast cells, we don't actually know what regulates invasion of these cells and what goes wrong to cause preeclampsia. And so we sought to determine the mechanisms that regulate trophoblast invasion. And so we decided to study the inverted formin 2 protein, which is responsible for generating invasive structures in cells.
So what actually is this protein? Where does it come from and how does it act on a cell?
So inverted formin 2 is actually found in a wide variety of different cell types, but what its primary role is in the cell is to maintain the actin cytoskeleton. It has a unique ability to depolymerize actin filaments. This is important in invasion because cells need to be able to form actin-rich protrusions that allow cells to invade.
Right, so you've got this protein. It's made in these trophoblast cells that are doing the invading into the maternal arteries, and they're expressing heavily this protein, which can remodel the skeleton inside the cell, which will warp the cells, making them change shape and bend and twist and so on. So is your hypothesis then that this protein is in some way linked to the ability to invade, and if it wasn't being expressed correctly or in the right amounts, that might be why invasion fails or doesn't progress far enough down the artery, and that's what causes preeclampsia?
Yes, our hypothesis was that inverted formin 2 is necessary for trophoblast invasion, and that loss of inverted formin 2 would reduce spiral artery invasion and lead to preeclampsia. So to test this hypothesis, we used a culture method of extravillous trophoblasts in which we've knocked down inverted formin 2 and saw that these cells had a reduced capability of invasion.
What about in vivo, though? Because it's one thing to do this in a dish. It's a very different effect in vivo.
That's actually a really good question. So to understand the role of inverted formin 2 in vivo, we turned to a knockout mouse model. When we studied the pregnancies of these knockout mice, we found that the pregnant mice displayed new onset high blood pressure late in pregnancy, and that it wasn't until they delivered the pups and their placentas that blood pressure returned to normal. Additionally, we looked at the spiral artery remodeling in these INF2 knockout mice and found that there was a significant reduction in the number of spiral arteries in these knockout mice, suggesting that spiral artery remodeling in these mice is reduced. The pups in these INF2 knockout mice were significantly smaller than the wild-type counterparts.
So basically what you've managed to create is a very, very close mimic of what we see in human preeclampsia, because you've got animals that develop hypertension, they have intrauterine growth retardation, and all of the other negative consequences go away after the animals give birth, which is a very strong mimic for what we see in the human condition.
Yeah, it is a really interesting phenotype that does recapitulate several aspects of preeclampsia and intrauterine growth restriction. I do think we are a bit far from thinking about potentially treating preeclampsia, but this would provide an interesting method for screening people at increased risk for developing preeclampsia.
And it will be very interesting to see what that new model reveals about a very common human condition. Katie Beazold-Lamb there.